This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. It is good to be back. Had a little reprieve, a little gallivanting, as some would say, on social media across a number of spots. And I have a story to tell here in just a little bit, but we are back, ready to go. We'll have two pods for you every single week until the season starts. And then once the season starts, three pods a week, including the podcast that I know oh so many of you love, the Thursday Breakdowns with me and Matt Eumanns. And speaking of which, Matt Eumanns on the podcast today. So we will jump in to his favorite plays. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out now. It is tremendous. 186 pages and a special shout out to everyone involved. It starts with Adam Burke. Obviously, you know Adam from this podcast feed. He, Zachary Cohen, Wes Reynolds, Jonathan Von Tobel, Eumanns. I know Paul Stone helped out with Eumanns on his top 25. Steve Mackinnon. The insight that is in that guide is phenomenal. It has a page on every single FBS team. It has recommendations for best bets and best bets galore from all of the folks here at VSiN, including myself as well. And a number of those best bets we have discussed already on this podcast. So go get it right now. You could check it out for $9.99. You'll hear Matt talk about it, but $9.99, to be honest, folks, is less expensive than all of the guides that are out there right now. And you get at least 1 month with VSiN Pro Access. So check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe, all of the opportunities that we have to be involved with VSiN here. And just a reminder too, if you're new to VSiN, where you can hear us, how about SiriusXM channel 158? We're on over 300 radio affiliates across the country. You can catch us on YouTube TV as well. And from time to time, like when I stumbled upon Mitch and Paul, Follow the Money on the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network in Washington, D.C., Masson and my show on Saturday and Sundays, the VSiN Tailgate Show, which will be back, College Football Tailgate Show coming up this fall. You can see it on Nesson in New England, as well as Masson in the D.C. area. So many different ways you can check us out here at VSiN. All right, a couple of things I wanted to hit on before we head into my conversation with Eumanns. I was in Tahoe, and then I was in Bethany Beach, Delaware, before finishing up a trip in Washington, D.C., and I want to just tell this story. If you ever heard Stanford Steve on his podcast with Van Pelt talk about Funland in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, well, it's an interesting place, needless to say. Shouts to anyone who has been a parent bringing a child to Funland. It has got rides. It's got games. It's on the boardwalk in Rehoboth, Delaware. I bring this up because, as you know, outside of the episode a couple weeks ago, I don't really talk personally all that much. So who cares where I took my kid when I was on vacation? The reason I bring it up is a testament to you guys. Someone came up to me on the boardwalk in Rehoboth, Delaware, outside of Funland, and said, "Hey, love the pod. Me and my degenerate friends listen to it every week." And I'll just say this, my family was taken aback a little bit, as I am so sorry. I forgot his name. If you feel free to tweet me or go into the mentions of this podcast, I apologize for forgetting your name, but it was awesome. He said, "Thanks for the Hawaii bet." And I said, "Whoa, don't thank me yet. Closing line value is good, but let's get it home there in week number zero." So that being said, I did want to run through the bets that we have already discussed that I have placed on this podcast. And I do my best. I never, when recording, give out a bet and a number that is not available. So I wanted to run through the bets that we have and see where we sit. This podcast, we got back going on May 1st, and our first bet that we placed on the podcast was in the middle of May. And I believe it was the time Ari Wasserman came on the podcast, and shout to Ari because he gave out a great number. I did not personally bet it, but Clemson to win the national title when he was on the podcast back in May was 20-1. That's now around 10-1. But the first bet we made on this podcast, May 18th, I look back at all of the dates on my ticket slips. Clemson to win the ACC, plus 140 at DraftKings, and that is now down at plus 105. I still wrote this up for the guide. FanDuel still has it at plus 110. I still think it's worth a play at plus 110, but that was the first bet that I made this offseason. Clemson to win the ACC, got it at plus 140 at DraftKings. Later in May, I made two long shot bets. And one, it was during the episode of Brad Powers jumping on the podcast. Notre Dame, I thought, was just mispriced at the Westgate Superbook. It was 30 to 1 for them to win the national championship, and the rest of the betting market was in that 15 to 1 range at the time. So gave that out on the podcast. Westgate Superbook right now at 14 to 1. And I think that's accurate. What's interesting about Notre Dame is they are a team that I believe has a very high upside, like a lot of teams this year, like in Alabama, like a Georgia, Ohio State, because if the quarterback hits, and we did an episode earlier this offseason looking at the teams that have the uncertainty at the quarterback, Oregon you could throw in there as well, and the rest of the roster around it. How good is the roster around the unproven commodity at quarterback? And if that quarterback hits, whether it be Kenny Minchie or CJ Carr for Notre Dame, what's the ceiling for the Irish? And I do think at 30 to 1, it was worth a shot for them to win the national championship, because the roster, you could certainly argue, is deeper than last year, even though they did lose some significant pieces. But, you know, for me, when I look at the Notre Dame roster this year, and I'm not going to go too in depth because, you know, it is the old Notre Dame drinking game here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. But you look at the cornerback position, Leonard Moore steps in for Benjamin Morrison last year. You look at the numbers, he was better than Benjamin Morrison. I thought Benjamin Morrison was the most indispensable piece on that defense a year ago. I was wrong. Now they lose Xavier Watts at the safety position. Insane production. How does Notre Dame replace that? It feels like it'll be like a situation where a lot of pieces will help out there a little bit. I do have some serious concerns about the kicking game, but last year the kicking game with Mitch Jeter, middle of the season, was a bit of a disaster. So at 30 to 1, thought it was worth the bet. It's down to 14 to 1. The long shot of Devin Dampier to win the Heisman Trophy at 100 to 1 at DraftKings on May 31st. That's down to 60 to 1 at DK. However, 85 to 1 I saw at Circa, probably still worth the play. Once again, that is my long, long shot bet of the offseason. All right, on June 26th, we had a couple of bets that we played about on the podcast. We gave out Wisconsin under 5.5 wins at Circa, minus 140. Last check, that is now down to 5 wins. Look, Wisconsin, the schedule is grueling. And for them, after they play Maryland on September 20th, there's no off week for them in the schedule. Now, technically speaking, there are 2 off weeks. They are off September 27th and November 1st. But after the Maryland game, where in theory they should be 3-1, it's at Michigan, it's Iowa, Ohio State, at Oregon, home to Washington, at Indiana, home to Illinois, at Minnesota. All of those games, they're going to be an underdog or it's going to be a toss-up. So that's why ultimately I went with under Wisconsin. And I did go over on Nebraska, minus 115 at DraftKings on June 26th. That now sits at minus $1.40. July 2nd, we talked about Hawaii, money line at plus 110. And that is now Hawaii at minus 122. Early on in the offseason, I want to say in May, we discussed Hawaii plus 2.5. We had Matt Grill on from DraftKings Sportsbook, and I very jokingly yelled at Matt and said, "Hey, can you give us a 3? Well, we never got a 3, and now the market sits at Hawaii minus 2, 2.5. So hopefully we're in the right direction there. A couple of other season win total bets and a couple of tips of the cap on these. We'll start with Southern Miss. This was a clear tale of a best bet here of Joshua Nunn, Step on a Duck One, who has joined the podcast multiple times this offseason. He's been great over at the Action Network. They're doing their season previews right now. He's done a really awesome job, very transparent on all of his bets. They're on social media as well. And he likes Southern Miss over 4.5 wins. I think the juice he got was minus 110. This might be one of the biggest movers in college football this offseason, because before we hit record here, we're recording this on August 6th, before we hit record, every market is off 4.5. It's either 5, 5.5. And Southern Miss is a team that we've discussed a bunch on this podcast. And also Colby Dant, too. Shouts to Colby Dant over at SGP. Was on this as well. So I tailed them, laid $1.60 on Southern Miss over 4.5 wins back in mid-July. And now that's 5.5. The other one was Syracuse. And this was still at 5.5 wins, I think at minus $1.60, as I double-check that right now at DraftKings. And it's now $1.80. I wrote it up. It was $1.60 at DraftKings when I wrote up for the guide. We gave it out on the podcast at minus 140 to the under. The schedule is just absolutely grueling for Syracuse, and they will be an underdog in every game away from the Carrier Dome, or whatever they call it these days. When you look at week one, taking on Tennessee as a 14-point underdog, they play all of the big boys in the ACC away from home. They play Notre Dame in the non-conference as well, and we've seen movement there. You still can lay under 5.5. The juice is now minus 180. Two bets that have not moved. Utah to win the Big 12 at 6-1, and Hawaii over 5.5 wins. Actually, you can get 2 cents better juice on the Hawaii one at minus 142 to the over. Utah still out there, DraftKings, FanDuel at 6-1. I think Utah, as I pointed out in the guide, the schedule's not easy for Utah this year in the Big 12. And as we know, the Big 12 is a wide open conference, the most wide open conference in all of college football. But I think for Utah, my infatuation with Devin Dampier, the bringing in the new offensive coordinator with Devin Dampier, and then also just the other unique aspects of this Utah team, where you have, in my mind and in many others' minds, the best offensive line in the conference. And then it's not just the quarterback position, but it's also the running back position that they brought in from Washington State in Wayshon Parker. They brought in a lot of unique pieces this year. Now, the wide receivers concern me. Zacharias Williams, this was something that was pointed out, I think, from Josh Nunn earlier in the offseason. You lose Zacharias Williams, that's a big loss. He was a guy that they had targeted as wide receiver one this spring. He transfers out to go to USC. You do play Arizona State, Texas Tech, and Kansas State, but you get all three of those at home, where you know you have a massive advantage in Salt Lake City. And then you've got an elite defensive coordinator in Morgan Scalley. So 6-1 still out there, another best bet for me. San Jose State to reach the Mountain West Championship game. This was that aha moment on VSiN when I was talking to Brad Powers during Mountain West Media Days, when we had all the coaches coming in the middle of July. It led me to bet San Jose State to reach the Mountain West Championship at plus 220. That's now down to plus 180. The schedule is just a big, big proponent in why we bet this in the middle of July at plus 220, because they do not play Boise State. They do not play UNLV. They do not play Colorado State. They get the next three best teams per the odds in Fresno, Air Force, and Hawaii, all at home. Are there some tricky spots out there? Absolutely. Do they have to replace Nick Nash, who had over 1,600 receiving yards? Yes. But Kenny Amatololo is a guy that I trust quite a bit in college football, and that is why I bet it. And then lastly, we saw a move here, and actually was minus 125 as of last week at Circa. It has now moved out to minus 155. Boise State's just better than everyone. And we gave this out on the podcast around the same time as the San Jose State bet. Boise State at minus 125 to win the conference at Circa was our last best bet on the podcast, and that one has moved a little bit. If they get to the championship game, which they should, they will be at least a touchdown favorite, barring some sort of disaster from an injury standpoint. It has no bearing on how they do week one against South Florida, no bearing on how they do on the road at Notre Dame. I just look at the Mountain West, and I thought JVT pointed out very well in his synopsis in the guide, the Mountain West is down this year, and Boise State might be a little bit down this year, but they have the most returning production in the conference, according to Bill Conley over at ESPN, and they play UNLV at home. They play Fresno State at home. They play Colorado State at home. They do not play San Jose State, and they go to Air Force, but that's in September when it's not going to be brutal weather. Minus 125, I thought, was a bit of a bargain on Boise State to reach or to win the Mountain West. And if you don't feel great about it, then you can get off of it in the conference championship game. So a couple people were asking, can we run through the best bets? I thought this is a good time now that we're less than a month away from the start of the college football season. So right now, these are the bets that we are all rolling with here on the podcast, dating back to the middle of May. Clemson to win the ACC at plus 140. Notre Dame to win the title, 30-1. Devin Dampier to win the Heisman, 100-1. Wisconsin under 5.5 wins, minus 140. Nebraska over 7.5 wins, minus 115. Hawaii money line against Stanford, plus 110. Syracuse under 5.5 wins, minus 140. Southern Miss over 4.5 wins, minus $1.60. Utah to win the Big 12, 6-1. San Jose State to reach the Mountain West Championship, plus 220. Hawaii over 5.5 wins, minus 144. Boise State to win the Mountain West, minus 125. Please rate, review, and subscribe as I stumble over my words there. We've seen a ton of five-star reviews. Just a big tip of the cap to you guys. You've been great. So appreciative. And let's continue to build this bad boy as we head into the college football season and continue this momentum and continue it rolling. We've got a couple of sponsors jumping on board, which I'm excited about coming up here in a couple of weeks. Just a reminder, me and Matt Eumanns in about 2 weeks' time will be out in Oahu for Hawaii and Stanford in that week zero game. Special VSiN primetime on August 22nd. From 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, live from Hawaii, and then a special VSiN college football tailgate show live from Oahu at 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern on that Saturday, August 23rd. Speaking of Matt Eumanns, he will join us on the other side of the break. This is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And as promised, the man you'll hear every Thursday on this podcast once the football season gets going. Great to have him on this summer. My co-host on VSiN Primetime, the one and only Matt Eumanns. Mr. Eumanns, how are you, sir? The college football guide is out. It's terrific. And how are we feeling about our top 25 that is out there right now?
I think the college football guide's outstanding. I looked through it yesterday. I did not get all the way through it. Obviously, 180 some pages. I've looked at quite a bit of it. I just feel like the NFL guide we put out is probably the number one publication we put out each year because so many people care about the NFL. You know, and that one's been out for about 5 weeks. I think now at this point, 5 or 6 weeks. But the college guide's the biggest. College football guide's the biggest and most valuable because you got so many teams. I think 136 teams now. Each one has a page. You've got several pages of best bets from so many handicappers and writers at the network. And the more I looked through it, I said, man, I can't believe we give this thing away for $9.99. That's just that. You know, you get 1 month subscription. And I'm not a show for the company. I'm just saying $9.99 is a steal for what you get if you pick up the college football guide. I've been buying, you know, a few magazines. I stopped by Barnes & Noble. I can't believe a bookstore still exists at this point, but it does. And I picked up a few magazines. All those magazines are like $20 a piece, including Phil Steele, right? And you can get this one on the cheap at VSiN. And I think this is the most valuable one of them all. So I've got some preseason. I've got some bets, some futures. Paul Stone helped me put together the preseason top 25. Paul sent me basically his top 35. I have my top 35 teams power rated. Came with an average score for each team. And that's how we came up with the VSiN preseason top 25. So we had a couple big differences on like two or three teams otherwise everything was I would say pretty close to his ratings. My ratings were pretty close, except for two or three teams.
Yeah, you've got yourself, Paul Stone, and Chris Felica also helped out in your top 25, which is obviously three of the brightest gambling minds when it comes to college football, Matt. So let's jump into your top 25. I want to get to your best bets, and we'll get into the SEC as well. That's the conference that you wrote up, which is an absolute bear of a conference to break down. But you and Chris Felica both came to number one with Ohio State. Paul Stone, a little bit different, had them at number three. For you, Matt, what led to you ultimately having Ohio State as your number one team in the preseason?
Well, so, to be honest, Tim, it's almost by default. I had very similar ratings on about five teams at the top. And Ohio State has got some questions at the quarterback spot, no doubt about it. Julian Sands, redshirt freshman, we don't know how good he's going to be, but he's got so much talent around him. Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, a receiver, specifically, that Sand doesn't have to be a superstar right off the bat, and Ohio State's still going to be really good. Buckeyes have a lot of talent to replace. They lost both coordinators, and they lost 14 players to the NFL draft. Now, they got a bunch of players ready to step in and replace those guys. I think the point that Chris Felica made is probably the best one. When you've got arguably the best offensive player and maybe the best defensive player in the country, talking about Ohio State, that's a good way to start. And like I said, the Buckeyes landed number one for me, basically because we don't know yet exactly how good Texas and Penn State's going to be. So until somebody beats Ohio State, that's my number one team. Tim, Ohio State was favored in all 16 games last season. And the Buckeyes probably going to be favored in every game this season, right? So that's you can't argue with Ohio State being the number one team.
Yeah, they'll host Penn State in November, and they are favored against Texas in that week one showdown. And look, it doesn't get much better than Ohio State-Texas, a game that we've been talking about for forever. And now we're a month away from that game coming too. And you and I have discussed it a bunch on VSiN Primetime, and you're a little bit more bought in because you've got some, you know, sources down in that area, and I don't. I think Arch Manning has the potential to be an incredible quarterback, probably will be, but I certainly just want to see it first. For you, Matt, where are you on Arch Manning, and where are you on this Texas team? You've got them at your number two spot coming into the year.
I picked Texas to win the national championship. Now, in the picks we made in the guide, I got Texas over Penn State in the championship game. And I've got Texas 2, Penn State 3 right now. I'm not one to buy the hype or be a sucker for things like this, but I thought Arch Manning should have been playing a lot more last year. And I understand why Steve Sarkisian said, hey, you know, I'm going to try to avoid a quarterback controversy here, and we're going to stick with Quinn Ewers. To me, that was a mistake. That probably cost Texas a national championship last year. If he would have played Arch a lot more instead of Ewers, that team was good enough to win it all. Hey, look, Texas is driving on Ohio State to tie the game, Tim. You recall that.
It was 21-14.
Ewers gets strip sacked. Jack Sawyer takes it the other way. 28-14, Buckeyes win the game. If Arch Manning had played that entire game, who knows, maybe things would have been a lot different. He made two starts, attempted only 90 passes last season. But I do have two sources close to the Texas program. They're both raving about Manning, saying that, you know, he's added about 30 pounds of muscle. He's zipping passes. He's got more zip on his passes. He just looks like a stronger guy in the pocket. He's incredibly talented when it comes to getting outside the pocket and running. We saw that last year. So I think he's going to be the real deal. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to go to Columbus and win the first game of the season. That's a hell of a lot to ask. I'm sure if Sark had it to do all over again, he'd probably say, maybe we should have scheduled UTSA in the first week and Ohio State in the second week. It'd probably be better to do it that way. But again, when they go to Columbus, Arch is going to be the most experienced quarterback in that game. Because Julian Sand is going to be the quarterback on the other side. Here's another thing. Texas had the number three scoring defense last season, 15.3 points a game. They lost Jahdae Barron, the corner, to the Broncos and all four defensive line starters. They also brought in a ton of talent. Colin Simmons on the edge. Anthony Hill, linebacker, going to be the leaders of this defense. Texas is loaded with talent. Make no mistake. Ohio State is too, which is why when you look at returning starters, you can't put too much into that. With unrestricted free agency and no salary cap in college football right now, these teams like Ohio State, Texas, are just bringing in tons of players and spending tens of millions on their rosters, and Texas is going to be fine. I know that people want to be a little bit hesitant and pump the brakes on Arch. I understand that. I'm typically like that with a lot of players. I went ahead and bought in. I bet Arch at 8-1 to win the Heisman. And I heard Steve Spurrier say, you know, Quinn Ewers was a 7th-round draft pick. Ewers drafted in the 7th round, and Arch couldn't beat him out. Everybody wants to hand this kid the Heisman. Well, if he couldn't beat out Ewers, how good is he? You know, I understand Steve Spurrier is kind of a wacko at this point, too.
Yeah.
But I understand that line of thinking. I think Sark was trying to avoid a quarterback controversy and stick with the veteran. And the Manning family wanted to bring Arch along slowly. That was pretty much the plan. And that's why they were very patient with not forcing him in there to be the starting quarterback. I felt like that team would have been better off if Arch was playing a lot more instead of Ewers. And that's kind of – NFL is telling you a lot, Tim, when Quinn Ewers slips all the way to the 7th round.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I want to get to Georgia because you picked them to win the SEC. You know, I was going to say, you're much higher on Georgia than the Bear and Paul Stone. Well, they have them 4th and you have them 3rd. So it's, you know, splitting hairs there. But look, this Georgia team, I think a lot of people, Matt, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's funny how different people looked at Georgia when Stockton stepped in against Texas in the SEC championship game. Sure. They win it. And then how he played against Notre Dame. And, you know, we had Drew Butler on the show, former Georgia Bulldog, and he brought up the fact that, look, Notre Dame scored 20 points in, what, a span of like 3 minutes? It was kind of a really wacky end of the first half, start of the second half. And, you know, Stockton was kind of all over the place. But you mentioned Ohio State's going to be favored in every game. Georgia probably will be favored in every game. They get to host Texas. They get to host Alabama. Have some tricky road trips, certainly. But what do you make of this Georgia team? Because I wouldn't say people are sleeping on them, but I wouldn't say when you kind of put your, you know, finger out in the wind, it feels a lot of, hey, Bama's going to bounce back, which I think they will, or Texas, Ohio State, Penn State. It feels like Georgia, for as good as they are and as highly ranked as they are, Matt, it does feel like they're getting maybe just a little bit slept on nationally.
You're not hearing the hype about Georgia, right? No. It's all about Texas and Arch Manning and some of the other teams at the top. Hey, Georgia won back-to-back national championships in 21 and 22. They're the reigning SEC champion. Beat Texas twice last season. Well, they don't have a quarterback who's an NFL prospect. Like, if you look around the SEC, you're going to hear a lot of hype about Arch, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers, DJ Lagway. You're not hearing anything about Gunnar Stockton. I think, you know, he was put into a tough situation last year, and he played okay, considering the circumstances. Now he's had an entire offseason to develop and grow. He's going to be pulling the trigger on an offense with plenty of talent around him. And you cannot forget that Carson Beck last year actually put up pretty good numbers in that offense. He had 28 TD passes, and a lot of people, including me, were critical of Carson Beck, but the numbers weren't that bad. Gunnar Stockton stepped in for Beck in the SEC title game and helped the Bulldogs beat the Longhorns. He passed for 234 yards in a playoff loss to Notre Dame. So I think he's going to be pretty good. Kirby Smart is 53-5 over the past 4 years. 53-5.
Is that good, Matt?
That's the best record in college football, Tim. this is a younger team, but it's still a really talented team. And, you know, I was speaking with, you mentioned the Bear, Chris Felica. We were speaking about some of these teams. He's fully bought in on Georgia. He thinks his team is legit. When you look at it, I can see why people are a little bit hesitant. Tim, that Georgia defense lost 3 first-round picks, Mikel Williams, Jalen Walker, and Malachi Starks. Those guys are gone. But you know, just like we talked about with Texas and Ohio State, yeah, there's a lot of players gone. There's also a lot of players ready to step in and be that next wave of talent. Bulldogs went 1-2 in road games last year against Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas. Well, guess what? All three of those teams are going to be coming to Georgia between the hedges this season. The schedule's much better. Kirby Smart's got his usual cupcakes on it. Austin Pace, Charlotte Marshall. This Georgia team's going to win at least 10 games, be a playoff team again. And I think the schedule sets up for Georgia to be a little bit better, right? If you got Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas at home, as opposed to playing all those teams on the road a year ago, that gives your team a little bit of time to grow up and mature. And we know Kirby Smart's defense is going to be good. Gunnar Stockton's probably going to be fine. He's probably going to exceed expectations. That's why some of these win total decisions we did in the VSIN guide were really tough. You know, when you put 9.5 out there on Texas, 9.5 on Alabama, 9.5 on Georgia, and you look at the schedule, you're like, damn. It's going to be hard to get to 10 or 11. I think Georgia's got a pretty good shot to get over 10 because of that schedule.
So right in the start of the guide, as many of you have probably seen so far, if not, it's Matt's top 25 with help from Paul Stone, with help from Chris Felica, both friends of this podcast. And the only one of the three that had Michigan in the top 10 was you, Matt. And I actually love this. I was doing a radio hit with my buddy down in Memphis on Tuesday. We were talking about the coaches poll, and I said, you know, a team that we're not talking a lot about is Michigan. I think the coaches poll had them at 14. We're going to learn a lot about them in the first 4 weeks of the season, Matt. They go to Oklahoma. They go to Nebraska. But this is a team that, outside of Ohio State, Matt, I don't know if there's a team who had a better finish to the season, beating Ohio State as a 3-touchdown underdog on the road and then beating Alabama with a rather depleted roster. So Michigan comes in still kind of quietly under the radar, and you're pretty high on them at number 10, and I would tend to agree. And like I said, week two at Oklahoma, week four at Nebraska, if this team's 4-0 going into their bye week at the end of September, boy, watch out. This team could be on the rise to maybe making the playoff. What do you make of this Michigan team this year?
Well, Michigan's unfortunately got a very difficult schedule early, like you talked about, because I think with a young team like this, you'd prefer to have you know, a little bit softer start in September and October. But I think a lot of people are sleeping on Michigan. It showed a lot at the end last year, Tim, when the Wolverines went to Columbus, as you talked about, a 20-point underdogs without a couple key guys and beat Ohio State. That's ridiculous. And hold that Ohio State offense down like it did, and then beat Alabama in the bowl game. And Crimson Tide, just a disgraceful loss for Alabama in that bowl game with Jalen Milroe at quarterback. I think that tells you a lot about the talent level in that program, and especially on that defense. You have a Michigan team that played three quarterbacks that combined for 11 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions last season. That's pathetic. Bryce Underwood's going to step in, the $12 million man, whatever price tag you want to put on him. Bryce Underwood expected to win that job. If he doesn't, or if he falters, you got Mikey Keene, the transfer from Fresno State, who's won some big games in college. Defense is going to be fine. I know you lose Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, who are first-round picks. Plenty of talent on the defense. Quarterback situation is going to be intriguing. I did rate Michigan higher than most. I had Michigan, I think, 9th or 10th. I think Paul Stone had Michigan around 14th, but the Wolverines came in number 10 in our VSIN preseason top 25.
So the last one I want to hit on here, because I don't want to give away the whole farm and want to get to your best bets on the other side of a break here, Matt, is a team. I think there are two teams that are incredibly polarizing this year. One of them, South Carolina, and you have them ranked 20th, and the other is Illinois. And coming off a double-digit win season, and you could hear the laugh from Matt on the other side, I bring up Illinois because the coaches poll comes out this week, and I know the coaches poll is a joke. We all know it's a joke, but I like to use it as a reference point. They come in at number 12 in that coaches poll, Matt. You don't have them in the top 25, and that's the biggest thing is, you know, we get new listeners every single day, especially if we get closer to the college football season. Hey, what's the difference between rankings and power ratings? Well, you put together your power ratings. Illinois, not in your top 25, Matt.
All right, so this is one of the teams we had a little bit of a difference on. Paul Stone did not have an exceptionally high rating on Illinois either. He had Illinois number 21. Illinois came in number 32 for me. You look at all the close game luck that the Illini had last year. I know a lot of people, you look at the preseason and say, well, Illinois got all these starters back. They got Luke Altmaier, quarterback. They won all these games last year. They were lucky to win a bunch of those games last year. Tim, Illinois needed a miracle to beat Purdue in overtime in Champaign. That was a pathetic Purdue team. And I'm not saying that was kind of an off day for the Illini, and Purdue played about way above its head. But again, the close game luck was off the charts. And I'm not a huge Luke Altmaier fan like a lot of people are either. So I'm not saying that the Illini are going to be bad. I think they're going to be around a 7-win type of team. But I've got Illinois power rated 32. Paul Stone had them 21. They came in at number 27, I believe, in our poll. Number 26 team was Iowa State. Number 27, Illinois. So those are the first two teams right outside the top 25. But, yeah, the coach's poll is a joke. Come on. Yep. I mean, you think those guys are really sitting down and analyzing every team? No, that's pretty much based on how the teams finished last year and preseason hype and BS like that. So it didn't mean a whole lot. Now, I could be wrong about the Illini. Maybe they're a lot better than I think. But there were two teams Paul and I had a big difference on. One was Illinois, I guess you could say, because he had – and still, Paul didn't have him really high at number 21. I had him 11 spots lower. Paul had Texas A&M at number 10, and I had Texas A&M at number 24. Now, those were the two teams – I think we had the biggest difference on with double-digit differences in the rankings.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Texas A&M because that's a little bit of a teaser. We'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll go through Matt's favorite win total bets, a little bit on the SEC, the conference that he broke down in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide that is out now over at VSiN.com. Quick break, more with Matt Eumanns on the other side.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, Matt, we're back, and we wrapped up. This is what the people in the industry call a tease. You talk Texas A&M. You're a little bit lower on Texas A&M than Paul Stone is. And their win total for Mike Elko heading into year number two sits at 8.5. And this is one of the best bets you wrote up in our best bets portion of the guide. So why are you a little bit lower on the Aggies than the market this year?
Tim, I'm going to ask you a trivia question. There's one team in college football, only one team that has stayed under its win total every year since 2017. What team is that?
I'm going to say it's Texas A&M, Matt.
It's Nebraska.
Ah!
Yeah. But you know, two other teams that have been major underachievers during that same time, Texas A&M and Texas, when you look at the win totals. Aggies getting a lot of preseason hype again. Look, it's almost annual tradition for Texas A&M to start the season in the top 25 and finish outside the top 25. I've got to see it to believe it. I'm not going to get pumped up about Texas A&M hype. Nobody knows better than you how much hype was around that A&M team last year. Mike Elko is going to be the savior. Notre Dame goes down there, and what do the Irish do? They pretty much handled Aggies without much trouble in that game down there. We always talk about how great the 12th man and the home field advantage is. It feels like I'm always watching Texas A&M lose big home games, right? Lose big home game to Notre Dame, lose big home game to Texas. Offense does nothing. There's a lot of hype around the quarterback, Marcel Reed. He's a dual threat. I like Marcel Reed. He's talented. He's got to get a lot better as a passer, I'll tell you that. Le'Veon Moss, the senior running back, is probably going to be one of the best in the SEC because this is a really experienced and massive offensive line. So there's a lot of positives on that side with Texas A&M, especially if Marcel Reed develops into a superstar at quarterback, which is impossible. What's possible, it is. Mike Elko, I believe, is a bit overrated as a coach. He struggles in some important game management situations. Elko does bring 8 starters back on defense, but look at the guys he's going to lose. First-round pick, Shamar Stewart. Second-rounders, Nick Scorton and Shamar Turner. those are some big time players to lose up front. I don't think as a baseline right there, you're looking at a 10 win type of team. I don't see it. Now look at the schedule. A&M faces Notre Dame on the road in September. Also has trips to LSU, Missouri, and Texas. Tim, if the Aggies lose all four of those games and sweep the rest of the schedule, they're going to be 8-4. Think about those road games. Notre Dame, LSU, Missouri, Texas. How many of those road games do you think it's fair to expect the Aggies to win?
Maybe Missouri, and we'll talk about Missouri here in a little bit.
Right, maybe Missouri. So then you would have to run the table the rest of the way to finish 9-3. I've got A&M under 8.5 wins, and I think that's a pretty good bet. Don't forget, A&M's also got to defeat Florida and South Carolina at home. Those are not going to be layups. I think Elko could win 8. He could win 7 or 8. There's no doubt. The key to this team getting over 8.5 would be Marcel Reed. Like I said, if he turns into a superstar. Circa's got the number at 8, which I think is the right number for Texas A&M's win total. It's 8.5 at some other books, including DraftKings. I'm going 8.5 under on the Aggies.
Well, you mentioned Missouri, and, you know, it's funny because the SEC spent their whole media days talking about their schedule strength, and it's a lot of it is very challenging, no doubt. You talked about Georgia. You get home games against Bama and Texas, Alabama, their road trips. But you look at Missouri's schedule, and I know this is something that jumped out to you, and you and I have talked about this on VSiN Primetime. They don't leave the state of Missouri until October 18th, Matt. They open up with Central Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, South Carolina, UMass. They get a bye week. They'll be an underdog, but they get a bye week before they host Alabama. So we're talking about the middle of October before Eli Drinkwitz's squad leaves the state. They get Mississippi State at home, which is the weakest team in the SEC. Who the hell knows what Arkansas is going to be in the final week of the season when they head down there. That team could be in potential turmoil. So you're looking at 7 wins at Circa, minus 115 to the over. And I know this is a Missouri team that, I don't know if it's just schedule related, Matt, but you're intrigued by the Tigers this year.
It's not just schedule related. It's talent too. Eli Drinkwitz, talent and coaching. Eli Drinkwitz done a really good job. This team, 11-2 in 2023, 10-3 last season. Those are veteran teams. Brady Cook was a 3-year starting quarterback. Luther Burden, he had a stud running back. So this team's going to look a lot different. But Missouri hit it big in the transfer portal. They got 6 high-impact players. They're going to make a difference. 4 of those being Bo Pribula, the quarterback from Penn State, Ahmad Hardy, running back from UL Monroe. He led all freshmen in college football in rushing yards last year. He's a talent. He's going to be one of the best in the SEC. Damon Wilson, defensive end for Georgia. How about Josiah Trotter, the linebacker from West Virginia, who is a phenomenal freshman? Look at the talent that Eli Drinkwitz has brought in to replace those guys. The stars he's got to replace. Very impressive what Missouri did in the transfer portal. Then you talked about the schedule. I think it's the softest schedule in the SEC. That does not mean Missouri's automatically going to beat, Kansas. We talked about that home game, or South Carolina when the Gamecocks roll in there. You're not a given to win all your home games, but 6 teams had losing records in the SEC last season. 5 of those teams are on Missouri's schedule. And like you said, Drinkwitz gets his first 6 games at home. Probably not going to win all 6, but if we went 5-1, I'd be ecstatic. 7 wins would be a disappointing result for this team. Circa's got 7 up there, like you said, on the total. Some other books have 7.5, which I think is the right number. This win total should be 7.5. So play it over 7. Tim, how disappointing would you be in Missouri if this team finished 6-6, right?
Yeah.
So I think 7-5 is a really good bet to at least get your money back. But it's a damn good bet that this team's going to get over 7-2. So I think Missouri's the sleeper team in the SEC, partly because of the transfer talent coming in, but the schedule has a lot to do with this as well.
Well, Matt, our colleague, Super Dave Ross, has made the trek. He is headed to the Big Blue Nation, the bluegrass state of Kentucky, and hopefully he does not have this ticket in pocket because he wants to make friends down there. Dave is a man of the people now that he's moved to the lovely state of Kentucky. Because you look at Kentucky, their win total sits at 4.5. Juice varies, but it's 4.5 pretty much everywhere. DraftKings is minus 110 both ways. And Matt, Speaking of Paul Stone, I had him on the podcast way back in June, so 2 months ago, and one of his favorite bets in the game of the year market was Toledo plus, I think it was a 10.5 at the time. That number's come down to 9.5 at a bunch of shops, still some 10s out there. Toledo's a team that since 2021 is the best team against the spread as an underdog in college football at 7-1, and I'm not so convinced that Kentucky's going to win that game. So as you broke down the SEC, Kentucky, really challenging schedule. Mississippi, week number two as well. What do you make of this Kentucky team where it feels like the run of Mark Stoops' success is coming to a close, and he might be on a pretty hot seat down there in Lexington?
Yeah, Mark Stoops is going to be fine if he gets fired because he's got a big fat buyout. So don't feel sorry for him if he gets fired. And he's had a good 12-year run there. I think he's the winningest coach in Kentucky football history, believe it or not. Stoops is counting on Zach Calzada. He was at Texas A&M to help turn around this offense. I don't see it happening. Calzada is in his seventh college season, by the way.
Upon a time beat Alabama, Matt, as a quarterback at Texas A&M.
Toledo, excuse me, Toledo, Eastern Michigan, Tennessee Tech. Right there, if you win those three, say, wow, you're dangerously close, that 4.5 win total. I don't see another game on the schedule that Kentucky is a good bet to win. They're probably going to pull an upset. You know, don't forget, the Wildcats went to Ole Miss last year as a 2-touchdown dog and knocked Lane Kiffin essentially out of the playoffs. With that was an inexcusable loss for Ole Miss last year, just a terrible loss. Kentucky finished 1-7 in the SEC, and the one win was at Ole Miss. And then Lane Kiffin wants to complain about being left out of the playoffs. Beat Kentucky at home. That's a terrible loss. The worst teams in the league, aside from Kentucky, are Arkansas and Mississippi State. And those teams are not on Mark Stoops' schedule. Under 4.5 on Kentucky, I think this is a really good bet. I'm going to give you three. These are three, I think, fairly obvious underplays that mean they're all going to get there. But I like these plays, too. And a lot of times we try to avoid the obvious. Oklahoma State under 5.5, Kentucky under 4.5, and Stanford under 3.5.
We'll see Stanford, Matt. Week zero, you and I will be out on the island cheering on our guy, Timmy Chang. They have flipped to a favorite. I know you, me, Paul Stone, a bunch of others have that ticket in pocket. I actually opened the podcast talking about a gentleman that stopped me on the boardwalk in Delaware and said, hey, thanks for the Hawaii play. We'll see. Don't thank me yet. Let's get it there first. But we're going to see this Stanford team up close and personal. You mentioned 3.5. You wrote it up for the guide. This is a program in, I think you said it very politely to Timmy Chang when he joined us in studio on VSIN, but this is a program that's an absolute disaster right now. Yeah, can they get the 4 wins with this schedule this year, Matt?
When Timmy Chang was in studio with us, I called Stanford a program in transition. I said, I'll be nice and call it a program. It's a mess. It's a cluster. You know what? 4 consecutive 3-9 seasons for Stanford. Now you got to start over. The best players on last year's team are gone. Troy Taylor fired as coach. Andrew Luck steps in as GM. Frank Reich is going to be probably a 1 or 2 year replacement as coach, maybe 1 year. You know, eventually these guys could get it right, but they got so far to go. I don't see it happening. You don't have many playmakers on offense, and the defense was a disaster. Allowed 33.7 points a game. Now, if you look at the schedule, there are 5 games Stanford could win. And Hawaii's one of them in Honolulu. Timmy Chang and the Rainbow Warriors need to win that game, Tim. That's a game Hawaii really needs to win. You got more talent. You got it at home. You got to win that game. I like our Hawaii bet. I'm going to be really disappointed if Hawaii does not win that game. Stanford's also got a home game with BC, home game with San Jose. Now, the Spartans should win that one. Home game against Cal. Which Golden Bears going to be pretty bad, so it's a toss-up. And at Virginia, I think Stanford's headed for its 5th consecutive 3-9 season, if not 2-10. So that Hawaii game is going to be important. We really need to win that game on August 23rd.
All right, we'll wrap on this, Matt. The Purdue Boilermakers, a team that you've had a just incredible read on this program since I've been working with you, whether it was Jeff Brohm last year, the nightmare season. I was texting with our friend Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook, Matt, and he said, is Purdue plus 7 against Notre Dame the worst line that was hung all year long when you think about the trajectory of those two programs eventually? Sure. Remember, mm-hmm. Notre Dame had just lost to Northern Illinois. We didn't know how terrible Purdue was. And then think about that. But they get Barry Odom. And you and I got to watch a lot of Barry Odom here at UNLV and did a hell of a job. Win total is 2.5. And they have two games out of the chute where they'll be favorites against Ball State and Southern Illinois. So, Matt, does Barry Odom get another win on the schedule in his first year in West Lafayette?
You think about that game last year with Notre Dame coming off that bad loss, and there was a lot of hype around the Purdue team. Purdue was off a 49-0 win over Indiana State at the time, and the offense looked great. Right? Hudson Card, the transfer from Texas, had a phenomenal first week, and the Sharps were pounding Purdue. That number was coming down, and Purdue had no chance in the game. Ryan Walters turned out he was one of the worst coaches, worst head coaching hires in Big Ten history. His staff was horrendous. That Purdue team had plenty of talent, Tim. After everything fell apart at the end, Purdue had players transfer to Oregon, Ohio State, Clemson, major programs all over the country, and these guys are going to be impact players at Oregon, Ohio State, and Clemson. Ryan Walters was a terrible coach. Barry Odom's going to step in. He won 20 games in 2 years at UNLV. That's nearly a miracle, okay? Now, he's got a much tougher task here to turn around a team that hit rock bottom and went 1-11. But he's hired a good staff. He's brought in 50-plus transfers. He's, I think, weeded out the troublemakers or the poor players. He's brought in guys he thinks he can help him win. Devin Mockaby is a senior running back, top returning player on the team. He's really good. He's got three or four quarterbacks here that can make a difference and improve an abysmal offense. So you start 2-0. You got to win one Big Ten game. It sounds like you should be. Yeah, you should be able to do that. You got 10 shots to win one game. It's not going to be easy. The October schedule is Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern, and Rutgers. Barry Odom's got to get his first Big Ten win somewhere in the month of October. I think he's going to get it done, Tim. Last year, don't forget, as bad as that Purdue team was, lost in overtime to Illinois and lost in overtime to Northwestern, so had two great shots to win. I think Purdue should probably beat Rutgers at home and probably pulls off an upset somewhere else along the line, and Barry Odom goes 4-8 in his first season. I like this over 2.5. I love to bet over really low win totals like this when you're betting on a good coach. And I don't know if you've heard Barry Odom talk here in the preseason, but he's talking big with a lot of confidence. Like, we're going to win now. We've got quarterbacks we can win with now. So I don't think he would be that confident if he didn't have more talent in this program than everyone outside it thinks. So I'm going to roll the dice a little bit here, but I feel pretty good about this bet over 2.5.
Well, you and I like to look for situational spots a lot too, Matt. And I just want people to circle this one. We talked about it early in the offseason. October 4th, Illinois goes to Purdue. Illinois will have just played Indiana and USC. Waiting on deck will be a home game against Ohio State.
Yep.
And Barry Odom will be sitting at home fresh off of a bye week. I hope we get double digits. I think we will get double digits, and I think that's going to be a great spot to look at the Boilermakers to cover the number and maybe win the game outright. I think that is a prime sandwich spot for Illinois heading to West Lafayette October 4th. And, you know, that's one thing, Matt, you and I love to do all throughout the football season when we do our Thursday pod, situational spots. And I think looking and trying to identify some of those now is helpful for when you start to handicap the season. But October 4th, Purdue hosting Illinois, I think, is a great spot for Barry Odom maybe to get his first Big Ten win.
And Purdue has had the upper hand in that series with Illinois for a long time. Should have won the game last year. Illini needed a miracle to win that game in Champaign. That was a joke. So, yeah, it could happen there. Could happen against Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers. I think Odom's going to go 4-8. And that's what I said, playing over 2.5, I think, is worth it here.
You can read all of Matt's work in our VSiN College Football Betting Guide out now, $9.99. You can get your hands on that and get your hands on all our guys. Check out what we have to offer for the first month. Matt, always appreciate it, and I'll be talking to you on VSiN Primetime. And then we're less than a month away from being out there on the island for Hawaii and Stanford. You and I will be doing some live shows out there in Honolulu.
I'm ready to go. Mahalo.
There he is, Matt Eumanns.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Thanks again to Matt Eumanns for jumping on the podcast, giving us his favorite bets for this upcoming college football season. I'll recap them real quickly. Missouri over 7 wins, Texas A&M under 8.5 wins, Kentucky under 4.5 wins, Stanford under 3.5 wins, and Purdue over 2.5 wins. A big thanks to Ryan Hunter, as always, for putting this podcast together. Much appreciated to my guy Ryan for taking so much dedication and making sure that I sound as good as possible, which I know at times can be impossible to do. A little programming note for those of you still tuned in: with the VSiN College Football Betting Guide out now, we will have Jonathan Von Tobel as well as Wes Reynolds joining the podcast later this week. I will catch up with Adam Burke and Zachary Cohen. Both are busy right now, and we will catch up with them at some point a little bit later on here in the summer. But later this week, Wes Reynolds and JVT will jump on the podcast. Please, as a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And once again, still in the midst of summertime vacationing, you see a stranger on the street that seems like a football fan, you say, hey, have you heard about the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast? Thanks to all of you for continuing the momentum this offseason. Back later this week with more great content and best bets right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.